All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Come up here and read that for me. 4, 1 through 4 from the Amplified Bible.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she became pregnant and bore Cain, and said, I've gotten and gained a man with the help of the Lord. And next she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offering.
All right. Now, there were some problems with those verses, weren't there? Can you tell me what problems between the Hebrew and the English translation there is? 4 and verse 1, what happened? 4 and verse 1. Tell me what's wrong. What's going on in here? What happened in 4 and verse 1? You want to read that again, Sharon, real quick? Just read it from where you are.
And Adam knew Eve and as his wife, and she became pregnant and bore Cain.
Okay, tell me what it says there in Hebrew. 4 and verse 1.
And
he knew Eve.
Knew his wife intimately, and that means sexually, okay? And what did she do?
She caught
seed. Okay. All right. Now go on a little bit further with that. Verse in English.
And next she gave birth to his brother Abel.
Okay. Now these were probably twins. She had multiple births. So now she has Cain. What does Cain mean?
Gotten.
And there's another problem with that verse also. Read that verse 4 and verse 1 and 2 in English.
Oh. And Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she became pregnant and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten and gained a man with the help of the Lord.
What does that mean? That's totally wrong, isn't it? What's wrong about that, Stephen? I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord.
Claiming she did it on her own, but with his help.
So all right, what's wrong with that?
Well,
what's wrong with it?
Because the birth is totally from God.
Well, that's not the problem. What's the problem, Sharon? I have gotten a man.
Even Jehovah.
I have gotten Jehovah. I have gotten the Savior. Et Jehovah. It's not with the help of, we've got the sign of the direct object. She has gotten a man, even Jehovah. Or yes, Jehovah. Or Jehovah. Okay? It's not with the help of the Lord at all. I have gotten Jehovah. I have had the Savior. I have the promised seed. Here it is. This is it. You promised me. Genesis 3:15. I was going to have the Lord. And my child would do war with the Satan's seed. Okay? So, that's quite a little difference, isn't it? Okay, now verse number 3. Read that one again for me.
And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground.
Okay, fruit of the ground. All right, now let's go on in verse number 4. And let's see what happens here. Cain brought an offering. Well, let's go back to 3. And look at that one.
Jim.
Yes.
So on 4:1 right there at the bottom where it says man, even the Jehovah, the word the is not really there, is it?
No.
So it's just man, even Jehovah.
Yes, Jehovah. I have gotten a man, a human, even Jehovah, not with the help of, or I have gotten Jehovah. What's Jehovah mean?
He who shall become.
That's what the name means. So now she thought the child had become, and here she has Jehovah. Where is the fulfillment of that verse in the New Testament? And quote it for me in Greek, not in English. Tell me what the verse it is, and I want you to quote it in Greek.
14.
John 1:14.
Kai.
See there, you got an A+ tonight. Kai hologo sarxaganato. And the Word, flesh, and the Jehovah, flesh, he became and dwelt among us. John 1:14 is the fulfillment of all the Jehovah titles in all reality. God became flesh. And that's what Eve thought here, but it didn't happen. She got to see her rebellion in full glory. All right. And it became from end of days, it says here, and he caused to be brought Cain, and that means gotten, all right. He caused for himself to be brought Cain from the fruit. Now, what's wrong from the fruit of the earth? Ha Adama. What's wrong with this offering that he's bringing?
Wasn't the type of offering God wanted?
It was a cursed offering from a cursed ground. Okay? Because there's thorns and thistles and weeds and diseases now. We have all of these diseases that have brought into the human family and even the animal kingdom that they didn't have before. Okay? All of these fallen bacteria and things. And then it says, from an offering to Jehovah. From an offering to Jehovah. Now, I want you to go on to verse number 4 now. This is where we're starting tonight. We havel. Heve. Gam. Hu, me be charuth, tzonov, nov, that is, tzonov, all right, you me chal vihem, Wayisha, Jehovah, El Hevel, Wael me chato. All right. And Abel, he had brought. Okay, let's look at that word havi there. What is? How do you conjugate that verb havi? Sharon, what would that be?
Third person masculine,
hifel, perfect. Third person masculine, singular, hifel, perfect. So what does it tell us about this verb? The perfect tense what? It had been done. He had brought is how it should be put down there. If you want to write down, he had brought. Okay? He had brought. Gam means also. Also. In the New Testament, in Greek, you could put down chi there, which means even or also, in the same place. Hu. He. And that's the third person pronoun. Page 215 in Brown, Driver, and Biggs, by the way. From the first ones. Look at that word. What is the root of this word? From the first ones. What's that? From the first ones. What's the root of this thing? Of this word? Rosh. Rosh it's mebecheroth. That Rosh there, you see it in the roll, right in the middle of that word. That Rosh got real short, didn't it? But that's the root. From the first ones, from the first ones. This is what we call the first fruits, but this one, his, is the firstborn of his flock. The firstborn. Remember what God told Israel a couple of thousand years later? Everything that opens the womb, every animal that opens womb is holy to the Lord, is God's. Okay? And they were supposed to offer it as an offering. If they couldn't kill it, they were supposed to make an other offering for it. Because what did it stand for? The person of Jesus Christ. All right? All of these stood for him. Okay? And then of his flocks, tis an o, of his flocks. Even from their fat pieces. And even, all right, and there we have on the front of it, you there, that's and, that's a conjunction. And then we have the mem, that's from, and then we have from their fat parts, from their fat parts. You, me, che, vihen, from their fat parts, from their fat pieces. Okay? And American people, there's a lot of fat pieces on us, isn't there? All right? Lots of fat pieces on us. So that's the end from the fat pieces, even from the fat pieces. And now look at this. Third person, master, senior, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Now, how did Jehovah look at his offering? Okay? Wayisha. Is what it says there. Third person, masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And he looked, and kept on looking with favor and delight. Happily. Because why? He was obedient. He followed the rules. And who set down these rules? Jehovah set down the rules. And when we follow God's rules, God's happy. He's happy. Isn't that nice that you're making God happy? When you're doing God's will in your life, you're making God happy. Are you making God happy? Are you doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do with your life? Doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do with your life? Have you done exactly what the Lord wants you to do with your life?
I showed up.
Yeah, you showed up. I did too. All right. Jehovah. And he kept on looking with delight and favor, Jehovah. El, that means unto. That's a little preposition, page 40 there. Unto Abel. Hevel is how you say it. Now, Marilyn, what does Hevel mean? What does it mean? Remember what Abel means? Abel? It's Hevel here. Remember what Abel means? Of the 10 inspired names, what does all this mean?
Well, I wrote down Abel equals Abel in Hebrew.
Yes. Okay, Sharon.
Breathe for mist.
Okay, his name means a vapor. All right, when it's cold, we don't have much cold around here, but when it's cold, your breath goes out and that vapor lasts for just a little while. In Fish Lake Valley, I have seen it so cold in the winter, when it used to be winter up there, that you could breathe your breath out and it would almost crackle and fall out of the air. I have seen every bit of moisture freeze in the air at 30 below zero. It will be going like a crackling sound. And everything around will be solid white. Real thick. My antenna wires, which are only like a 12 gauge wire, would be that big around. Like that. Because all of the poco net, this little frozen air crystals, they're freezing to everything. This crackling. Crackling and freezing. And that's what this means here. It means a breath, a vapor. In other words, his life was going to be short. His life is going to be short.
Vapor.
Okay. Weel. 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 How about this we-el there? Tell me about we-el. What is el here? Sharon? See your hand. You got up here really close. See, I can pick on you a lot.
Well, I guess it would be unto. Or
okay, so what is that? What kind of part of speech is that? Preposition.
Isn't it complete, el?
What?
The word el, el, complete.
Well, it means a lot of things. According to the context and the syntax. Right here it's a preposition. And then we have we on the front of it, and we on the front of it is what, Marilyn? You thought she was going to get over and hide, so you still get asked questions. I want to know what everybody knows in this room. What does it mean, Brother Stephen? We, Sharon.
And
is what part of speech?
Conjunction.
A conjunction. And that's you can find that on page 253 if you want to write it down there. That we is part of speech on page 253 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. That book right there. All right. Unto his offering. Min chato. His offering. 4 and verse 5 now. Let's go on a little bit further. Weel. Cain. Weel. Me chato, lo, sha'a, wa'yichar, likayin, miod, wa'yipelu, pa'no. Okay. And We-el. We saw that one last. What do you have here? We is what? We is a conjunction. Page 253, all right? I don't have it written down in mine either. I'm doing it. See, I remembered that. And that L there is a preposition, all right? And then Cain means what?
Cain.
What's Cain mean? The name Cain. Cain. The land of Canaan comes from that. The Canaanites. All of this comes from this word right here. Marilyn, do you know what Cain means? Not cayenne pepper. No, I... Yeah. Stephen.
Offering.
No. How about it, Sharon? Gotten or acquired. Okay, that's what his name. I have gotten the Lord. I've gotten Jehovah. See, that's what she said. And his name, that's Cain. That's it. This is the same guy. Cain is king. That's Cain.
Okay.
Weel, and unto his mechato, his offering. Okay. Not, he looked, he had looked, actually is what it says there. He had looked. Let's look at that one. Sha'ah. That's third person masculine singular, cal perfect. Third person masculine singular is what person? He. All right. Cal stem. Active voice. Simple verb. All right. Perfect tense. Steve, what's perfect tense mean?
Meryl. Right here, right now. Just
perfect. No, perfect tense. That's present tense you're talking about. What's perfect tense mean, Marilyn? Perfect tense, Marilyn.
I couldn't tell you.
Sharon.
It's completed.
Completed action. See, now, you guys have to stay on your toes now. You write this down. You're learning now. See, you're taking a test as we go along. I never gave my students in the seminary a written test. I knew exactly what they knew all the time.
Completed action.
Completed action. Yeah, perfect tense is completed active. All right, it's cal stem, perfect tense. Why it car? Now, this is quite a verb right here. It's third person masculine singular, cal, while consecutive and perfect. All right, third person masculine singular. Who's that, Stephen? Third person masculine singular.
That's God.
That's he.
Yeah, right.
No, we're talking about Cain. This Cain is going to do the acting here. All right. Cain. All right. And he had looked. All right. All right. We're talking about God and we're talking about Cain. They're having a problem here. God and Cain are having a problem because Cain is not following orders. He's trying to start a false religious system. Do you know that? Cain is starting the first works for salvation program. He started another church right here. This is my church. We're going to do it my way. And my way is works for salvation. I'm going to be a pure Armenian. All right? I'm going to be a pure heretic. I'm going to work my way into heaven and I'm going to make God like it. That's right. I'm going to go out there and I'm not going to trade my flock, any or my food, my produce, for one of Abel's flock, because I did it my way. And I'm going to do it my way. Okay? Now, third person masculine singular, cal, while consecutive, imperfect. Sharon, you want to read this verse for me from the Amplified Bible real quick? Just jump up here and read 4:4 and 5 for me real quick.
And Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offerings. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed.
All right. Thank you very much. All right now. And he had, literally now, I want you to get this down. This is very important. Y-y-car. The word here, the root of that word is chaya, and it means to burn. Have you ever seen anybody and they got so mad their face just turned red and their nostrils flared and they started spitting? Screaming and hollering and spitting.
Maybe when I was an adult.
Yeah. You ever seen somebody like this? Somebody went into a mad dog. Mad dog. Okay, he turned into a mad dog, foaming at the mouth, screaming and hollering, and his eyes were flaming, and they all turned all red, and his nose flared. Literally, it says his nose burned. His nose flared. Okay, his nose flared. Glowed red. His nose glowed red with anger, literally. This to Cain, exceedingly. And fell, third person masculine plural, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect, then fell and kept on falling. The sourpuss. His faces, his expressions. The whole attitude was poisoned. Cain's whole attitude was poisoned and violently sour, ill-natured. He wore his attitude in his facial expressions. This is Cain now. He's wearing his attitude in his face. He's angry with the world. Wyomer. Hathavar. El Cain. Nimah. Charah. Lach. We lama nephilu fanika. All right. And he said and kept on saying Jehovah. Now I want you to understand that Jehovah went and personally talked to Cain. He didn't send Adam there. He did not send Abel there. Jehovah himself came to Cain. And Jehovah is trying to deal with him. A lot of times God, you know, God's Spirit deals with all mankind. I don't believe in limited atonement. I do believe that the atonement of Jesus Christ is only efficacious to those that have believed. All right? But it is sufficient to cover all man's sins. All right? And I believe that God calls every man to salvation. Amen. A couple of days ago, I went out trying to clean out the dove cage, and two or three doves flew out. When they get out there, they're going to be dead. I've been trying to catch them, but they won't allow me to catch them. They're coming back, wanting to get home. One of them was out there today picking up a little twig. You know, in the cage, they don't have twigs, but he's picking up a little twig and trying to put it in the cage. He wanted to back home and he wanted to build a little nest. But every time I try to get him, he thinks I'm going to hurt him. He's going to get hurt because he's down there around these cats, and these cats eat doves. They love doves. That's filet mignon for cats. And I keep trying to catch him, keep trying. It's kind of like God does as people. He touches our heart for our good. Amen. But Cain got mad. When God touched his heart and personally interviewed him, personally, he got mad. He mad. I want it to do it my way. False religion always persecutes the truth. I want you to understand that. False religion is always violent. The great whore of Babylon, the Catholic Church, as she began in the 325 A.D., she, within 50 years, she was persecuting other believers that didn't go according to Hoyle, her Hoyle. All right? What they were establishing as the truth and the religion. They had a lot of Baptists back then, and these Baptists weren't going that way. You go back so far, and Catholics are going to turn into Baptists. But then they evolved. The Catholic Church began to evolve, and it became a persecutor because they're related to Cain. In 570 A.D., we have Muhammad born. All right. And he begins to act out his religion. And his religion is a religion of intolerance. All of his life, he was intolerant. Intolerant. Kill. Poetry that they wrote in the Quran, the rivers flow with blood. We've made the rivers flow with blood. Our swords flashed in the light and flashed in the night, slicing off the heads of our enemies, the enemies of God that wouldn't believe like we do. All through for 62 years, that man came up. He all of a sudden got a revelation, and the revelation was revelations of doom and murder and stealing and theft. Alibaba and the 40 Thieves was the same story. That's what they did. They stole and took. They perverted God's word from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made a religion of works. Again, a religion of works. Catholicism is a religion of works. Then we have in the 1400s into the 1500s, we have Calvin and Luther coming out of Catholicism. We have a little bit of freedom of religion today because of that. Okay? Luther was first. You know, he was the one, you know, the diet of worms and all this, you know, 99 theses on the wall and everything. What he was actually protesting was indulgences. And he went and traveled to Rome, and he said the closer he got to Rome, the closer he got to hell. The filth and the immorality, the horror of it. And it's still there. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, regardless. Well, he came out protesting. That's what they call them Protestants. Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Protestant. Baptists have always been Baptist. Calvin and Luther came out protesting, trying to reform the Catholic Church. They didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. Luther was an ordained Catholic priest. Calvin was never ordained, but he was a Catholic priest. And he did the job, and he got paid as a Catholic priest for years and years and years. But guess what they took with them? The church-state idea. The church is an independent body, independent from all other things. You know what? This last week we had the Supreme Court just pass a law. Maybe Baptists will have to be Baptist again. Amen. Maybe Baptists will have to be Baptist again. Do you know for 1950 years, Baptists would not go down and buy a license to perform a marriage at all? And in some Baptist churches today, some what we call hard shell Baptists, that if you go out and you get a marriage license and you're married by a judge, a lawyer, or whatever, a captain or anything, you will be excluded from that church for spiritual fornication. Marriage is not a license. It took to 1950 for Baptists started practicing that thing. After World War II, you know, the Social Security Act and everything else, when things changed when we got Social Security, and I'm saying it's good, but it set a whole bunch of Indians free. They were slaves before that. They were using Indians in California, Nevada, Utah as slaves. Then when they had the Social Security Act, things changed. A lot of things happened after that. But they want to control the masses. All of it's control of the masses. The Catholic Church invented this legal marriage business. Baptists always would take a Bible, if they had a Bible, and they would write the marriage of this man and that person, and that was it. And they would not, absolutely would not, register their church with the state. And this new law is coming out if, and they're talking about it already, been talking about the last two or three years. If you, as a Baptist, won't marry and perform a marriage ceremony for these queers, you know, say like queers, girls, perverts, twisted up people, then you'll lose your church, will not be a non-profit organization and recognized by the state. Hallelujah. That's all I can say. I remember Brother Dieter Bergstrasser preached on this 35 years ago. He said, I hope one of these days that the Supreme Court passes laws where churches won't be looked upon as entities, and when people, when they give their offerings, they won't get a tax write-off for it. Because he said, they're getting a tax write-off. It's not because they love the Lord. and churches, what would happen to churches if they had to start paying taxes? And the church members couldn't take the tithes and the offerings off of their income. You'll find out who the real Christians are. You're going to find out who the real... You know that some of the Baptists have never done that at all. They won't correspond. They won't cooperate. They won't have a 501c or something like that. They won't do it. They don't want to be... And they say, I'm going to be separate, church and state. And they really push it hard to the point, sometimes a little radically, but that's what happens. Okay? This is coming in our time, maybe. Dieter Burkstracker preached this 35 years ago. He saw it coming a long time ago. He's my pastor. Let's go on a little bit further. 4 and verse 6. The first religious rebel is what I have written up here. The first act of false religion. We have it coming all the way down. When Calvin and Luther came out of the Catholic Church, they didn't know anything but church-state. When America was founded, there was nothing but church-state colonies. Yes.
Calvin murdered, estimated over 400 people.
He killed quite a few people because they didn't believe like him. He put people in prison.
Him personally, he killed.
I don't know whether he personally killed anybody. He had several people, separatists he had killed.
What makes him of such importance? Just because his argument over the word and discussion?
Calvin was a pretty good theologian. He was a lot better theologian than Luther. He almost became a Baptist. Except I think he was too proud to. Luther believed in consubstantiation. Baptist always believed in memorial as the Lord's Supper. And basically Calvin almost finally came to the point of doing that. But Calvin never got rid of the church state, the idea of forced theology on people. He believed Sunday is the Sabbath. You work on Sunday, you're going to go to jail. If you don't come to church on Sunday, you're going to go to jail. You are going to pay your tithes out of your money. We're going to force you to do it, or you're going to go to jail. You're going to be fined. Now, brethren, sistren, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it?
No.
But that's what he came. He came from Catholicism, so he didn't know anything but church state. When they founded America, America was not founded on religious freedom. It was not founded on religious freedom. It became that way finally because of Baptists in Rhode Island. They fought hard for it, for you to have religious freedom today. And America became the hotbed of the cults and isms too. With freedom of religion, you have problems. But let her fly. Let it fly. Let it be what may. Let the Jehovah Witnesses rise, the Seventh-day Adventists, all these people... Pentecostalism, all of that happened right here. Right here. Because we have freedom of religion. They didn't have their heads chopped off when they believed something else. There's tolerance, religious tolerance. I never threatened to kill anybody if they didn't get converted. I've had more converts out of the Catholic Church than anything in my life. I have never yet converted, well, I haven't converted anybody, but led to the conversion of a Mormon. Because they got such a screwed up mind about God. It's a problem. Their mind is just twisted up, perverted and twisted about the person of God. Jehovah's Witnesses, yes. I've led out and leading some Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord because they believe in the Bible. You can reach some people. The further they get out there, I've yet to have one Muslim converted yet. Let's go on. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah, El Cain, unto Cain, which means possession or gotten. Lema. Ma means why or what. Ma. Remember what mana means? Mana? Mana. What is it? That's manna. What is it? You'd be surprised how much of Judaism that Muhammad borrowed. His idea of hell is called Gehenna. Where did the idea of Gehenna go? The hellfires of Gehenna. Where did that come from? The valley of Gehenna in Israel. all right, in Israel. That's where it all came from. Borrowed. Lama, why or how? Third person master scene or cow perfect here. Chara. Chara. Here we have the word. He has glowed with anger and his nose keeps flaming to you. And why? We lama. And why or how? Third person construct. Plural. Cow perfect. They have fallen. They have fallen. It's they have fallen. Look at that. They have fallen. Third person construct plural. What's they there? Why do we have a... We're talking about Cain. Why do we have a plural number when we're talking about him? Let's go and look. You know, even numerals have gender in Hebrew. Okay? Now here... We're talking about his faces. Why has fallen? Why they have fallen? Why they have fallen? Okay. Your faces. How many faces do you have, brother?
I just got one.
Oh, all right. How about you, Marilyn? How many faces you got? I've seen some of them. Now, just don't tell me you only have one.
But if you catch me in the morning, you might see a different...
How about you, Sharon? How many faces do you have?
Well, I can paint on different ones.
Have you ever been mad? Do you look the same mad as you do happy and sad and happy? We have all these different faces, okay? Remember that book called Pilgrim's Progress? It talks a man of two faces and all of this. We all have many faces. Many expressions according to how we feel. When we're in pain, we have a different face. When we're happy, we have a different face. When we're laughing, we have a different face. When we're crying, we have a different face. When we're angry, we have a different face. Why they have fallen, your faces, your expressions. J. Lewis Guthrie said so many years ago, probably almost 100 years ago, actually, nearly 90 maybe, he made a comment on 4 and verse 7. He said, if you do well spiritually, is there not a lifting up of you up if you do not well spiritually? At the door, sin is crouching as a wild beast, and unto you shall its running. It will run after you and destroy you, but you may rule in him. That was his translation of the next verse. All right, now we're going to see something here. We're going to see some things that just you don't see otherwise. We have the first false religious system founded right here by a rebel. Ha-halo. Im. Titev. Siet. Weam. Lo. Titev. La. Lop. Petok, Tatot, Rovets, Weelicha, Teshukato, Weata, Tim Shaw. Boar. Bow, that is. Bow. I thought that while there was a resh, but it's not. Couldn't read my own handwriting. Of course, I wrote this translation about 50 years ago. I've gotten a lot better since then, 40 years ago, I guess. About 40 years ago, my writing improved. That's, I only wrote this for myself. Now I'm doing things so people could read it. That makes a lot of difference. All right. We have hello here. Like, sounds like hello, doesn't it? We have in here is not. And then we have a M here, which means if. This is like a particle of what we call a conditional particle. If, now look at this. Tative. Second person, masculine, senior, hifel, imperfect. Now, the Greek word here, is orthos. Orthos. We get our word orthopedic surgeon from this. What does an orthopedic surgeon do? They cut and they make straight, don't they? They cut and they make straight. That's what an orthopedic surgeon... Have you ever had one of them work on you, brother?
Yeah, 5 times.
Yeah, all right, 5 times. Did they cut and make it straight?
Yep.
All right. They cut and make it straight. All right. If you cause to divide correctly, what do you think he's talking about here? If you give the right portion, if you divide correctly, and what were they required to do here?
First fruit.
The first fruits, and what else? Basically a tithe. In the Garden of Eden, we have a tithe. We have a tithe here in the Garden of Eden. If a church asks you to give more than tithe, they're just going beyond their boundaries, because in the Bible we see the word tithe. Tithe, tithe, tithe. Okay? People give more than their tithe sometimes. Voluntarily. Without coercion. Okay? They do that. Brother Dieter Bergstrasser, when I used to go to his church up there, he preached on giving. And he'd say, the tithe is the Lord's already. If you want to give something, you're going to have to give it beyond that. Because the tithe is not yours. It's not yours. That's not yours to have. If you want to give, then you have to give more than the tithe. Then that's giving. The tithe, when you tithe, all you're doing is giving God what's his. Period. That above the tithe is what you're actually giving voluntarily. Okay? You understand the difference in that?
I do.
All right.
I understand churches don't teach properly tithing.
They what?
They don't teach proper tithing. Because tithing should be to God, to yourself, your family, to your brethren, to the people of Israel. And they just want you to give to the church instead of teaching proper tithing.
Let's go on a little bit further now. Divide correctly. Divide correctly. That would be tithing, wouldn't it? Dividing correctly is tithing. Okay? Now, Cain was supposed to tithe and divide correctly. Now, there was an offering. Now, I want to ask you something. How many of you ever raised a cow? Raised a cow, Brother Steve?
Quite a few of them.
Okay, now, the cow. A cow will, you can go out, my cousin used to tell me this all the time, these walkers, you know, Clint Walker, the movie star. I had some cousins that were married cousins, that is, married into my family. My Uncle Jim married walkers. And these boys all looked like Clint Walker, all of them did. And they were all strong, just like Clint Walker, you know, big. I mean, just naturally, that's all, well, they were Choctaw Indians, they were strong. Tall, strong people. And we used to go buy baby calves. And my cousin Bo used to say, you can carry that calf today. If you picked him up every day for the next year, do you think you could still carry him?
No.
How much food do you have to put in a cow to make it to weigh 1,000 pounds? How many pounds of feed do you have to feed him for he'll weigh 1,000 pounds?
5 tons, probably.
Tons. That's tons it. And tons. Five and tons. Tons and tons. Probably more than that. Probably I would imagine probably 6,000 or 7,000 pounds. I used to know this when I went to school. I did all this stuff. I took animal husbandry and all of this marketing and everything. And anyway, it takes a lot. Marilyn, you fed sheep and you fed cows and all this stuff. It takes a lot of hay to make a pound of beef, doesn't it? You can probably look it on the internet and find out how much it takes. But I guarantee you he was trying to cheat the Lord. He's going to go out there and take 10 pounds of grain and put it on top of the altar and say, "There it is, Jehovah. Get, like it or leave it." It's not enough for him to have bought a sheep and having within a year old. It's going to take a lot of feed for him to trade for his brother because he was a shepherd. It's going to take a lot of feed, a whole lot of feed to buy one calf, one goat, or one lamb. A lot. So now he's trying to shortcut the Lord, isn't he? Are you trying to shortcut the Lord in your life financially? Are you trying to shortcut the Lord? All right. Because the Lord will shortcut you, I can guarantee you. And here we have an example of being a stingy religious man. A stingy gut right here. This is him. All right. Orthos tros en ne kes orthos. You are not trimming and you're not adjusting correctly, Cain. You're missing the boat. You're trying to cheat me and you're cheating yourself. All right? See yet. And then he says, Cal infinity construct, to be lifting up. All right? If you divide correctly, if you cut straight, if you give your tithe, and it was going to take more than a tithe for him to buy a goat, a lamb, or sheep, or whatever. It's going to cost him a lot. Because it takes a lot of farm produce to produce 1 pound of meat. He said, see it, lifting up. To be lifting up, and if, we am, and, conjunction, if, conditional particle, not, adverb of negation. Look at that adverb of negation right there. What do we have when we have an adverb? What does an adverb do? Marilyn, what's an adverb do?
It describes the verb.
It describes the verb. So it's doing what? It's an active something. And here, if you literally want to correct, translate it correctly, you're going to have to say notly. Actively not. You are not. Actively not. And if not, notly, t-tiff, if notly you cause to cut straight or divide correctly, second person masculine, singular, hifel, imperfect, if you keep on doing this, if you keep on not causing to divide straight and tithing and giving straight, if you don't want to do this, le petach, at the door, chatath, say chatath. That T in there in the middle, that one that looks like a snake, teth there, that one there has got a dot in the middle of it. That's a dogish in the middle of it. That means it's double. Chatath. At the end of it, we have a tau, but it's a soft tau, so it's a TH sound. Chatath. And this word is sin. 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 Now this word here means to miss the mark. When you hear a preacher say that the hamartia means to miss the mark, he's read the wrong lexicon. Because hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. Last Wednesday night we looked at that in Timothy, didn't we, Sharon? Astokio means to miss the mark. Astokio is the Greek equivalent of chatha, not hamartia. Hamartia means to go astray. Right here, he's missed the mark. Missing the mark is sitting and crouching at your door. missing the mark is there. You are her habitual terrible shot. You're habitually missing the mark. I told you personally how to follow me and to have an atonement for your sins, because you're a sinner, Cain. You are a sinner. We're all sinners, aren't we?
Yep.
Huh? Well, I'm glad that you guys agree with that. You know, that's one of the hardest things to convict a person is that they're a sinner. When you get somebody off the street and you start calling them sinners, they really get upset. I remember one of my students, Ken Blinn. See, I'm naming him. All right, he won't mind this. He went back to Indiana, back into there. He was going back to Louisville, Kentucky Seminary, and he got to hearing me preach, and he copied me a lot, and he started calling people ungodly buzzards and sinners, and these people, they were just melting in their seats. Billy Graham said one time that 70% of Baptist church members are probably not saved and never did repent and call upon the Lord to save their souls. People try to hide their sin rather than admit their sin and follow the Lord. Sharon, do you think you can turn that thing on just a little bit before it gets too hot? We've got a few minutes left.
Please.
Please. Por favor. Pila Maya. You know what Pila Maya is? That's one of them savage terms. That's Indian. That's Lakota. Pila Maya, please. And also thank you. And he said, and kept on saying, Jehovah unto Cain. He pleaded with him. Jehovah has pleaded with Cain. Chadrah. And his anger had burned to you. Why has your anger burned to you? And over here in the seventh verse, he said this, missing the mark, you're habitually missing the mark, Yavetz. Yavetz there, or Rovetz there, that means it's crouching like a wild beast. Masculine singular cow participle. Lying in wait. Lying with wait. Sin is lying in wait. You're missing the mark is carrying you astray. False religion, basically every one of them is a religion of works, isn't it? Right. What does a Catholic priest tell you if you go to a Catholic priest and you've done something wrong? What's he tell you to do?
Go to confession.
Well, you're in the confession now. What's he tell you to do in the confession?
Tell him everything.
Tell him everything that you've done, and then what did they tell you to do? You spend so much money and say how many Hail Marys.
Hail Marys.
That's works. Works. A religion of works. Sin, like a wild beast, this habitual missing the mark, like a wild beast is lying in wait unto you. We elecha. Unto you. We leika. Unto you, Teshukato. Look at this one. Teshukato. That means longing, a desiring, lusting after. Marilyn, when you walk in the See's Candy place, what do you do automatically?
Drool and ask for a sample.
Yeah, that's what Steve, say that again. You drool and ask for a sample. All right. Isn't that what, chocolate is really, that's an addictive thing. It is. You know, caffeine is addictive and chocolate's got caffeine in it.
I go in there, chocolate-covered walnuts.
Chocolate-covered walnuts is really good for you, isn't it?
That's good for your heart.
Oh, yeah. Yep, with all that sugar and everything else, too, that's real good for everything, too, isn't it, Brother Steve? All right. It's longing, it's desire. It's longing, it's desire. When you go by a bakery, it incites a desire in you to taste some of that, whatever's in there that smells so good. I mean, bakeries really smell good, don't they? I tell you what, they don't have to use any advertisement at all locally. Just walk by there and those people will get hungry and go in there. Have to open the doors early in the morning.
Put plenty of butter on it.
Plenty of butter. It's longing and desire. It's lust. We ata, and it means and but you. That's quite a complicated little word. We ata and but you. Timshaw, second person masculine singular, cal imperfect. And he shall keep on ruling. He shall keep on reigning. He shall keep on ruling. He shall keep on conquering. He shall keep on controlling you over you, Bo. Sin works us over, doesn't it? Sin works us over. Sin can work you over.
Beat you to death.
It beats you to death. And it follows you wherever you go.
It hides and then comes back up, punches you some more, and then leaves you alone. Wait till you're vulnerable, punches you some more.
All the time. Cain, the religion of Cain, when you go the wrong way, you're never really satisfied. Look at it from a Catholic's point of view. If you're a real good Catholic, you know what you got to look forward to when you die?
Yep.
What? Purgatory. That's right, purgatory, which is a suffering place where you got to suffer for all your sins that you committed anyway, because you're not perfect unless you got a rich family member can buy you out. That's right. You got to look forward to, oh, I hope. I've talked to many Catholics, and you know what they say about their husbands or wife when they die? I hope that they're safe. I hope they're not suffering too long. Isn't that terrible?
Sounds like Muslims.
The Muslims.
Same thing.
Every Muslim's got to go to hell. They go right straight from this world to hell unless they die in jihad or killing somebody for the Lord.
They still go to hell.
Yeah. Well, they're still going to go to hell anyway. Yes. All right, but that's the only way they can bypass hell. And they go and they suffer and they drink this molten sap that's on fire, and their skins are burning off, and yet they're having more skins put on them all the time, and they're just horrible, terrible, terrible conditions of suffering. Muhammad, when he was unhappy with his followers, he would sit down sometime for 10 and 12 hours and lecture on the tortures of hell. And these people would be wailing out there and crying and clawing their faces and screaming for mercy. False religion doesn't have any real hope for you, to tell you the truth, people. Of course, now, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, if you're not a real good person, you just die and you go to sleep like Buddha sought for. Buddha was just a wonderful great ruler in India. He even got married. He had the best of everything all his life. And finally, he escaped from the palace. His father just kept him in there so he wouldn't know how the common man was. People were starving to death out there. He went out there and he saw all these people starving and suffering and everything like that. And he wanted to suffer and starve with them, because he figured if he suffered and starved, he wouldn't be reincarnated as a flea or a fly or a maggot or something, or a grasshopper. He dreamed that he had been a lion one time and an elephant another time and a flea and a fly and a lice and all these things reincarnated. See, they believed in reincarnation. And his idea was, what can I do in this world? How can I put myself through all this torture to where I will live all of this now and I will just go out of existence when I die? It's going to nirvana and just cease to exist and rest, and I won't have to come back as some other animal, some lion or tiger or elephant or even a cow. So he suffered, he suffered, he suffered. One time he only ate one grain of rice a day. That's all, just one. And his body, his eyes were sunk into his head. You could see every bone in his body. It was just a skeleton with skin on it, and he was barely alive. And finally, this girl came by, and she gave him a bowl of porridge. And he looked in his head, and he said, "You know something? I have learned so much. I have wisdom to impart to the world. I'm going to found another false religious system. Works for salvation. I'll just eat that porridge right now, and that way I can live long enough to tell somebody else how to suffer and deny themselves of all earthly pleasures, and they get to go into nirvana bliss." And we see these little cults all over. They're out there by me where I live, these little cults where they go live in these communes, and they deny themselves. They have no sex. They have no marriages. They don't eat but once a day. And if they go out, if they're on the road evangelizing the world, they can only eat. They take their bowl with them, and what somebody gives them, they only get one meal a day. That. They're suffering for annihilation. Jehovah's Witnesses, if you don't believe right, you go into annihilation. The Seventh-day Adventist, all these the same thing. You're annihilated. According to them, the only person, but Seventh-day Adventist, the only person that suffers real hell is Satan himself. He dies and goes to hell for you. No. Yeah. All of this, there is no hope. The Bible teaches a real hell. It is for the fallen angels and for those that reject Jesus Christ. That's who it's for. No one has to go to hell. Amen. God does not create you for hell. He created hell for fallen angels. He provided for your salvation. It is sufficient to cover all mankind, but it's only efficacious if you believe. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to. Cain didn't have to rebel against God. He did it because he wanted to. He didn't want to do things God's way. And 4 and 8 is we have the first act of religious persecution. Let's see how many minutes. You want to do one more verse or you want to leave? One more?
I'm here to midnight.
Okay, here to midnight. I'm not. I don't think I can last that long. 4 and verse 8.
Wyomer.
Cain. El. Hevel. Aki. Achi. It's awful hard to say that one. That means brother right there. That's all I call Delphos in Greek. Wahi. Be yo. Tom, be a Tom. Ba Sede. Why Yakam Cain El Hevel Aki. Why Ya Ha Har Gehu. All right. Let's look at this one. And he said, and kept on saying, Cain unto Abel. Now Cain is approaching his brother Abel. False religion always goes out and tries to beat the unbelievers up, the infidels. Kill them, kill them, kill them. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. I don't have any Muslims they killed. But they killed a lot of them too. They killed between 50 and 100 million. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million. If you go into every religious sect, you'll find that they killed a lot of people. Islam has killed 270 million and still growing every day. Every day. Somebody's happened. This last week, how many people died? Over 150 this last week. Still killing, killing, killing. True religion doesn't murder people. You don't help them the hell. They're killing Christians. They're killing fellow Muslims. Because they don't. Well, I'll tell you what. If Muhammad was here today, he would be right on the side of ISIS. He would.
Yep.
Because everybody else, if you don't go out and kill and steal and rob for the name of Allah, you are a hypocrite. And hypocrites go to hell. That's what he'd say. And that's when he'd 10 and 12 hour lectures, because they wouldn't go out and kill. One time he called them to go into the Byzantine Empire right in the middle of the summertime. It was a long trek. He called on them to do it. He says, man, it's 140 in the shade and we don't have any shade. Those that followed, many of them died of heat exhaustion. The ones that left behind, he rant and raved all the way there and rant and raved all the way back and rant and raved for a long time, for years, and kept getting a so-called inspiration from God. And a message came down. And a message came down. And named them. You stayed here while we were out there doing that. Oh, you'll be in hell because you're a hypocrite. And I mean, some of them cried and bawled and squalled. They came to the mosque and they would just cry and hold on to the pillars. They weren't going to do anything. And finally he said, well, this person, that person, that person, don't you speak to them till I tell you to talk to them. Give them the silent treatment. Don't you say anything to them at all. Don't have any commerce with them. And boy, they cried. They would look at their fellows and they'd say hi, and they'd turn their back. And this went on for weeks and weeks and months. And finally, he got a message. Now, if you go out and you spend your wealth to kill people and to go out and conquer, then you'll get to go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to be a hypocrite. So all of those in Islam today, all modern Islam today, are hypocrites. There's room in paradise for them.
There is no modern Muslim.
According to Islam, there is no room for them in paradise unless you're a radical Islam. Okay, let's go on. And he said, and kept on saying, Cain unto Abel, his brother, Adelphos. Adelphos means what in Greek? Adelphos? From the same womb. This man came from the same womb. He had the same mother, he had the same father. And he became and kept on becoming in Beyatom. They kept on being in field. They kept on being. They kept on being. In field. Prairie. Sharon, what does this word that comes from Sade, what does that mean?
Moisture.
It means a prairie or a meadow where there's enough moisture to where it grows grass. In the prairie. By the way, I don't know how much irrigated farms were back then. The earth was watering itself, remember? All the way up to the time of Noah, the earth was watering itself. We were in a greenhouse effect. And there was a lot of prairies. And he stood up and kept on staying up Cain unto or against Abel. Abel means what?
Missed Baber brief.
His life was brief. His brother. And he kept on violently slaughtering him. And he kept on slaughtering him. Third person masculine senior, cow, well, consecutive and perfect. All right. Now let's go to 1 John. Let's go 1 John. 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. We're going to go to 1 John 3:12. Right before the book of Revelation. But we're going to look at the book of Jude too, by the way. 1 John. I know I've got it in my Bible. 1 John 3.
Page 30,
if I can find 34. It. 312. Verse number 11 says, go back to verse number 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious, easily seen. Anyone who does not practice righteousness and justice is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Okay? For this is the message which we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. All right? Not as Cain, who was the evil one who slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Why does false religion always persecute someone that differs from them?
For that reason right there.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, now go to the book of Jude. Jude 11. There's only one chapter in Jude. All right. Verse number 10. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct. Like unreasoning animals, these things they are destroyed. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of what?
Korah.
Cain. Gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are all people of false religion. You can track, according to the book of of the book of Jasher, Ha Sefer Yashur, according to Jasher, Balaam was a thorn in God's people's side for a long, long time. He was down there. His two sons, Jannes and Jambres, stood and defied Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. And then Balaam goes all the way in to Palestine. Later on, he gets run out of there and he goes over there and he's causing trouble with Israel for years and years. This man lived a long time. The old devil took care of his own. Finally, he got killed, didn't he? All right. But Cain, he slaughtered his brother. Esther 8 and 11, where we see Haman and Mordecai. Haman sets up and he's going to kill Mordecai, the man of God. And he, by that impaling, he's going to hang him on a cross. You know what it says. He's going to hang him. What he was going to do is going to impale him on a stake. He's going to set him on top of that stake until that sharpened stake went up through his body and completely ruptured every organ, and he would slowly writhe and die on that thing, on the sharpened stake. And he's going to be 75 feet in the air, where he does it, where everybody can see him up there naked with this stake going up through his rectum and then up into his guts and everything, slowly bleeding and suffering to death. Guess what? The Lord turned the tables on him. All right. Proverbs 7:26. We see this all over.
That was a deterrent to crime.
Yeah, it was. It was a deterrent to crime. But what we have see here, the bad thing about it is, Islam went and they would chop people's heads off and they'd take people and they would crucify them on crosses. You know they still do that. Every day they're doing it all over the world. Every day, if Catholicism still had the power to do what Islam's doing today, they'd do it. That changed because they can't change their spots. The leopard cannot change the spot. False religion is false religion.
Catholicism's raising a lot of havoc in countries.
All right, we went from 4:4 through 4:8.
Proverbs 7:26.
Yeah, I said Proverbs 7:26. Shameless women destroy men. Of course, 1 John 3 and 12, we went back and looked at that. And the book of Esther 8 and verse 11, we talked about Haman and Mordecai. All right. Ruthless violence. Esphoxen. Ruthless violence. All right. You have any questions here? We'll start here in 4 and verse 8 next week. I hope this opened your eyes to some things tonight.
That was 4 and 8.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we want 4 and 8. We want 4, 4 through 8. We're going to start 4 and 9 next week. All right, Sharon, you got any questions? Marilyn, you got a question?
Not right now.
Stephen?
I have some questions.
All right.
But I'll tell you on the way home.
I heard ear that before. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's go out and do something eternal. Now, you've got some ammunition to do it, don't we? All right, Marilyn, would you dismiss us in prayer right now?